Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us all here tonight as your people. And we pray now that as we come to focus in on your word, that your spirit would be at work within us, stirring our hearts and showing us what in our lives needs to change. And we pray all this for Jesus' sake. Amen. If I were to tell you that there are only two types of people in the world, wise and foolish, which would you be? One of the wise or one of the foolish? You may think you know which you are, but would other people agree with you? The truth is, there's only one way to be sure. So how do you know whether you're one of the wise or one of the foolish? The answer is in the book of Proverbs. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be delving into this book, and together we're going to discover what it means to be wise as well as what it means to be foolish. And tonight we're going to begin by thinking about words. Words are important. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows how important it is to have the right words to say to the right person at the right time. What guy wanting to ask a girl out on a date hasn't thought carefully about the words he's going to say? And for that matter, what girl, knowing that that guy is going to ask her out, hasn't thought carefully about the words she's going to say in response? If you turn up to a job interview without having put any thought into what you're going to say or how you're going to answer certain questions, you're not going to get very far. Just the other day, a friend of mine who works in media was telling me about some interviews he conducted where the prospective employees were asked what they perceived to be their strengths and weaknesses. It's a fairly run-of-the-mill question. And one young man, after a long pause, and it's never good to pause for too long when you're asked a question like that, but this guy did, and after his long pause, he looked my friend in the eye and he said, "You know, I don't really have any strengths. But one weakness that I have is that I can be really flaky." Needless to say, he didn't get the job. Words are important. They make a difference to our lives. They matter. So how should we use them? Well, Proverbs has plenty of advice in this regard. Proverbs has more than 100 individual sayings, all to do with the way that we use words. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the time to go through each of these one by one. So instead, what we'll do is we'll look at some of the big ideas that emerge when we put them all together. And the first is this: words are powerful. Really powerful. Take a look at this proverb from chapter 11. "Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed." Words can have an effect on entire cities. I'm privileged enough to have been to a few different cities around the world, and maybe you've been to a few yourself. But one thing I've noticed is that many cities are filled with people who love to hate on them. People who could talk endlessly about their city's flaws, its problems, the things that they would change about it. And I reckon our city of Sydney is one of these cities. What easier way is there to start a conversation with a complete stranger than to complain about the trains not being on time? And yet, in 1993, 4 words were spoken that lifted our city up. Can you guess what they were? That's it. The winner is Sydney. From the moment those 4 words were spoken, announcing that we would host the 2000 Olympics, I reckon the whole outlook of our city changed. The complaints vanished, and suddenly everybody was proud to be a Sydney-sider. Sydney was the greatest city in the world. It was as if we were exalted. and all because of four simple but powerful words. Another proverb that highlights the power of words is Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You can really hurt someone with words if you're not careful. A thoughtless comment at a party, a joke at someone else's expense, an "I hate you" or an "it's all your fault" in the heat of an argument. These words really do pierce. But equally, words can heal, can't they? An "I'm sorry" or an "I forgive you" can do wonders to mend a broken relationship, a broken person. This is the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And what this proverb is saying is that when we speak, our words are doing one of two things. They're either building up people and relationships, or they're tearing them down. They're either contributing towards a person's life, or they're taking away from it. Picture the boy who turns up at school, and because he doesn't quite fit in with everybody else, for whatever reason, he's mocked and teased and bullied. He's the butt of every joke, day after day, week after week, year after year perhaps. And what kind of effect will the sum total of those words have on this boy's life? But picture the same boy at the same school with the same differences, only this time everything that makes him different to the other students is celebrated by them, so that each day he's complimented and fed words of encouragement and admiration and respect. And what kind of effect will the sum total of those words have on this boy's life? Or picture the girl who, because she doesn't do as well at school as her parents might have hoped, comes home every afternoon to hear how disappointed with her they are, how embarrassed they are by her results, and how much better all their friends' kids are performing. What kind of effect will the sum total of those words have on her life? Picture the same girl with the same academic struggles, but only this time, whenever she comes home upset about her latest results, her parents encourage her to keep trying her best, reassuring her that they'll always be proud of her no matter what, simply because she's their daughter. And what kind of effect will the sum total of those words have on her life? Words will either contribute towards a person's life, or they'll take away from it. They'll either build that person up, or they'll tear them right down. The question is, which are the kinds of words that build up, and which are the kinds of words that tear down? Well, thankfully, Proverbs leaves us in no doubt as to the answer to that question. Here are some of the kinds of words that Proverbs says tear down and take away from life. Lies. Proverbs 14:25 says, "A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful." Likewise, Proverbs 25:18 says, "Like the club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor." Lies are one form of words that can take away from a person's life. Another is gossip. Proverbs 20:19 tells us, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much." And both Proverbs 18:8 and 26:22 tell us, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." What else? Slander or insults also tear down people and relationships. Proverbs 10:18 warns that he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. And Proverbs 20:20 has the particularly strong warning against speaking badly about your parents. If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Well, there's more. Flattery. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Just as Proverbs 29:5 says, whoever flatters his neighbour is spreading a net for his feet. Boasting. Boasting is another kind of word that tears down. Proverbs 27:2 gives an important caution. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. So lies, gossip, slander, flattery, boasting, these are the kinds of words that subtract from life and accumulate steps towards death. But these aren't the only words out there. There are also words that add life. Words that build a person up. There might be someone in your life who you wish you could just write down everything they say, because you always come away from a conversation with them that little bit smarter, that little bit wiser, like they've added to your life in some way. Chances are they're just using words that build up. I'm sure we can all think of times when someone's come along and said just the right thing to us at just the right time. Words of hope, perhaps, when we were close to despairing. Words of encouragement when we were tired and close to giving up. Words of inspiration when we felt bored and flat. Maybe someone's given you a warning or a word of correction that's proved to be for your benefit. These are words that build people up, words that add life. So let's have a quick look through some of these as they appear in the Proverbs. First up, few words, or sometimes no words. Proverbs has a surprising amount of teaching on the importance of silence. So for example, Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 18:13, one of my favourite proverbs, encourages silence for the purpose of listening. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. Careful words. Proverbs 13:3 is very clear on this. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Healing words. Proverbs 15:4 tells us the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. What else? Kind words, gentle words, pleasant words. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And finally, strong words, such as words of rebuke or correction. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. So few words, careful words, gentle words, words of healing and words of rebuke or correction. These are the kinds of words that build a person up, the kind of words that add life. So far we've talked about the importance of words. We've considered the great power words have, and the two types of words that are out there, words that build up and words that tear down. But there's something else Proverbs teaches about words. Something often overlooked. But very significant. And that's this. That words come from the heart. You ever noticed how easy it is to take a cheap shot at someone if you put it in the form of a joke? You suck. You're useless. I'm just joking with you. Or you're fat. You're ugly. I'm just messing with you. You loser. Stop being such an idiot. Why are you so dumb? We hear this stuff all the time, don't we? Wrapped up in sarcasm, presented with a smile, and that little disclaimer at the end, I was only joking. But the thing is, the jokes aren't always funny, are they? Sometimes jokes can really hurt. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19 say, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbour and says, I was only joking. See, tacking a but I was only joking onto the end of something doesn't make everything said before it okay. Now, jokes can really hurt. Why? I reckon the reason some jokes hurt is because, whether we're conscious of it or not, deep down, each one of us knows that words, they don't just come out of nowhere, but words come from the heart. And so Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Notice where the folly comes from in the proverb. It comes from the fool's heart. But in the same way, a wise man's words come from his heart. Proverbs 16:23 says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Words come from the heart. It's like listening to an iPod. Try and stay with me on this one. When you listen to an iPod, where does the sound come out? Well, it comes out of the headphones. And yet all of us know that it's not really the headphones that are playing the music, is it? Because if you unplug the headphones from the iPod, well, there's no sound. The music's on the iPod, not the headphones. The sound may come out of the headphones, but the headphones need to be plugged into the iPod if you're going to hear anything out of them. Well, in the same way, our mouths are plugged into our hearts like headphones are plugged into an iPod. So that when we speak, our words reveal what's going on in our hearts. Up here is merely broadcasting what's happening down here. There was a boy in year 7 who, for an English assignment, had to write a short article describing his dad. And in this article, he wrote that despite not understanding some of his dad's peculiar habits, like brushing his teeth before breakfast, he still admired his dad more than anyone else in the world. His dad was still his hero. And he also wrote that despite his dad's fear of heights and queasiness at the sight of blood, his dad was still his dad, and for that reason alone, he'd always love him. I got an 8 out of 10 for that assignment, with a comment down the bottom of the page that said, beautiful, straight from the heart. See, it's a compliment when people tell us something we said or wrote came from the heart. And whilst I don't want to take anything away from that, Proverbs tells us that whenever we speak, we're speaking from the heart. All of our words, not just some of them, but all of them come from the heart. Someone who picked up on this was Jesus. These are his words up there on the screen. In Matthew 12, 34 to 37, Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, but the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. He goes on, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. I don't know whether or not you've given much thought about what will happen when you die, how you'll be judged, if you'll be judged. But just stop for a moment and think about what Jesus is claiming here. He's claiming that we'll be judged according to our words. So just let that sink in for a moment. Jesus is saying that when the time comes for us to meet our Maker, whether we're pronounced guilty or not guilty, all comes down to our words. That's how important words are. Now, at this point, some of you might be thinking, you know what the take-home message from this sermon is going to be. After all, we've learnt that words are important, that Proverbs tell us that they come from the heart and that they have the power of life and death. And Jesus backs all of this up with the claim that we'll be judged according to our words. So obviously, the take-home message from this sermon must be careful with your words. What each of us has got to do tonight is we've got to go out from here and we've got to exercise perfect control over our tongues so that none of us ever utter a careless word ever again. And for the rest of our life, all of us only speak words that build people up. And then we'll be all right on Judgment Day. Except that's not the take-home message from this sermon. And this isn't the end of the sermon, by the way. If this was the end of the sermon, then all I would have given you is a long list of do's and don'ts. Do speak this and don't speak that. All I would have given you is what some people might call moralism. Adopt these morals and adhere to them from now on and you'll be okay. But that isn't the Christian message, is it? Christianity is so much more than the moralism people often mistake it for. So hear me loud and clear when I tell you that this isn't the end of the sermon. I want you to stay with me a couple minutes longer because I want to take us all a step further. The truth is, moralism can only get you so far. So being perfect with your words from this point on will do absolutely nothing for everything that you've said up until this point. Even if you did manage to walk out of here tonight and for the rest of your life exercise complete and perfect control over your tongue, well, you'd still have all the careless words you've used in the past to account for. If you want that verdict of not guilty, you need some way of dealing with not just the present and the future, but the past. And for that, well, you need someone better than a youth worker like me. See, I've got words that can help you today and maybe tomorrow if you've got a half-decent memory. But what all of us really need is someone who has words that will help us not just today and not just tomorrow, but for all eternity, past, present, and future. There was a time when all the people who had been following Jesus started to lose interest in him at a pretty rapid rate. And many deserted Jesus. They turned back and no longer followed him. I guess they just went home and got on with whatever they were doing before. Aware of what was happening, Jesus turned to his disciples and he asked them whether or not they were going to leave too. And one of them, Peter, answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So we've spent some time today thinking about words of life. But no matter how many of them we manage to speak to each other from this point on, all of us still need Jesus' words of eternal life. Now, there's a sense in which everything Jesus ever said, he said in order to lead people to eternal life. But let me share with you just one small sentence as an example. You can find it in John 3, verses 14 and 15. Here it is. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Now, what you've got to understand about these words is that in them, Jesus was foreshadowing his own death. He is the Son of Man who came to be lifted up on a cross so that everyone who believes in him might receive eternal life. And his death on that cross is the way through all of our mistakes and failures to speak words of life. The way we might find forgiveness for every careless word that we've spoken. The way we might receive those ultimate words of eternal life, the pronouncement of not guilty on Judgment Day. So, our words are important, and coming from the heart, they're powerful, powerful for life and death, meaning we ought to be very careful about the way we use them. But let's not make the mistake of leaving here tonight without considering the best, most important, most heartfelt, most powerful words ever spoken, the words of eternal life found in Christ Jesus. So if you've never considered these words before, tonight's the night to do it. Find someone you can discuss them with after the service. Eternal life could be yours tonight. Why pass up that opportunity any longer? Many of us here have already received eternal life. And if that's you, then isn't it great that we have Jesus' words of eternal life? You might want to think about who you can share them with this week, at home, at work, at uni, or anywhere else you end up. Because there are no better words you could offer someone than the words of eternal life. Who do you know that needs to hear them? So let's sum up. This is the end of the sermon. We ought to be careful with our words because they're powerful. We ought to be careful with our words because they have life and death consequences, and because they reveal what's really going on in our hearts. Our words are important, but could there be any words more important than those of eternal life? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So as we go out of here tonight, let's let these words shape our words, that you and I might leave speaking only words that build up, words that add life, as the direct result of having Jesus' words of eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us words to use to relate to each other. Tonight we want to especially thank you for giving us your word in the Bible and your Son Jesus, the living word. We thank you that he came to offer words of eternal life. And we pray that having accepted these, you would be shaping our words, that we might speak words that build up, words that add life rather than take away from it. And we pray that this would happen as the direct result of grasping Jesus' words of eternal life. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.